John chapter number 16. Sa aklat ng Bible sa Bagong Tipan tayo. John chapter 16. At ang sabi ng Bible sa verse number 20. John chapter 16, verse number 20. Ang sabi ng Bible, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy." At kung tagalogin natin ang Bible, ang sabi ng Bible, katotohanan sinasabi ko sa inyo na kayo'y iiyak at tatangis, subalit ang sanglibutan ay magagalak. Kayo'y malungkot, subalit ang inyong kalungkutan ay magiging kagalakan. So ang mga disipulo ay punong-puno ng kamangmangan patungkol sa mga sinabi ni Jesus. Kailangan natin ng liwanag ng banal na Espiritu ng Diyos para maunawaan talaga natin ang mga salita ng Diyos. So, hindi tayo malayo sa naranasan ng mga disipulo. Alright? Sa kamangmangan din natin dahil sa kasalanan ng laman. The disciples were ignorant concerning the will of God for their life. They did not understand what Jesus is talking about. I'm going to be with you. Then I'm going to go away. You won't see me. You'll see me for a little bit, but then you won't see me for a while. And they were completely ignorant concerning the will of God and the program of God for this world. And we're not too far away removed in ignorance because of our sin and our failures. And we need the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate the Scriptures. We need the Holy Spirit of God to guide us into all truths. So that when we come to the Word of God, we understand the Word of God with benefits, profitability. We gain something when we look into the Word of God through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, you see. And Jesus is referring here, verses number 17 and 18, verse 18, "They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith," you know. And Jesus is referring to his death, his burial. They're not going to see him for a while. Then he's referring to his resurrection, where they're going to see him again. And they're going to rejoice because they thought that they murdered, you know, the Jews murdered Jesus and it was all over. And the Messiah that they had hoped would rule and reign in Israel is no longer alive. And so their hopes were dashed. Their fears overcame them. But Jesus said, "No, you won't see me for a little while, then you'll see me again." And he promises victory to his disciples. Not only is this referring to his resurrection, and it's his ascension as well, and his return as king. All of that's included in this program of God. Look at Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. Acts chapter 3 verse 21 is Peter was rehearsing. Acts chapter 3 verse 21, everything that was going on during the life of the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. Acts chapter 3 verse 21, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." Well, when is the time of restitution of all things? Well, don't forget, we have a millennial kingdom that's coming. And when Jesus rules and reigns in the millennial kingdom, he is going to restore all things. You see, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. This is something that the Old Testament looked forward to. All, every prophet in the written prophet in the Old Testament talks about the restoration of Israel and the rule and reign of the Messiah, the worldwide rule and reign of the Messiah. But for now, the disciples were defeated. For now, they are sorrowful. But their sorrow will be turned into joy when they realize that Jesus Christ resurrects, comes back to life from the dead. And so, I want us to see three things. First of all, I want us to see the character of the disciples and the character of the Master, Jesus Christ. What were the disciples like? What does it teach us about us as His disciples? What is Jesus like? And how does Jesus treat us like He treats His disciples here? Then I want you to see the explanation of Jesus Christ concerning sorrow and joy. Then I want to wrap up this message with a few reminders of biblical joy and what can we learn about biblical joy. All right, so first of all, I want us to see the character of the disciples and the character of the Master. Look at verse number 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him. He knew them. He knew that they wanted to know the will of God and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while ye shall see me. So the Lord took notice that, here it is, disciples, number one, you have to be interested in the will of God. You have to be interested in the will of God. These disciples were interested. They wanted to know, what did Jesus mean when He said what He said concerning a little while we will see you, and a little while we won't see you, but then a little while we'll see you. Now, yes, they were ignorant, but even though they were ignorant, they wanted to know. They wanted to know. And let me say something. We may not understand the will of God completely, but we ought to desire to know the will of God as His disciples. We ought to want to know God's will. Number two, Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows our hearts. At verse 19, and Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him. Jesus knows His disciples. He didn't have to wait for them to ask. He knew they wanted to know. And this is how the Master relates to His disciples. The Master knows us. And He observes us. He watches us. And He comes alongside to help us. He's our comforter. And then He'll be replaced by another comforter, the Bible says, you see. And so, number three, the Lord is always ready to help. The Lord is always ready to help. So Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him and said unto them, Do ye inquire? And why would Jesus prod that question? It's because Jesus is ready always to help. And that's our hope as disciples. We can trust that God is always willing to help us. There's always hope when God is helping us. Verse number 20. Here's Jesus' explanation. Number two, ang paliwanag ng Panginoon, ang explanation niya sa mga sinabi niya sa mga disipulo. Verse 20, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament. That's the sorrow. That's the sorrow. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Did you know that sorrow can be turned into joy? Well, sorrow, referring there to the time when Jesus will die and when He is buried and remains dead for 3 days and three nights. Malungkot ho ang mga disipulo dahil papatayin ang Panginoong Hesukristo at ibuburol siya ng tatlong araw at tatlong gabi. So nakakalungkot nga dahil maghihiwalay ang mga disipulo sa kanilang master. Merong time na hindi sila makakasalo at makakasama sa kanilang Panginoon. Yan ang larawan ng kanyang kamatayan at paglibing. Pero sabi dito, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And yung joy naman dito, ang ibig sabihin, yung kanyang muling pagkabuhay, yung pagkabuhay niya maguli, at yung mga sumusunod na pangyayari, yung pag-akyat niya sa langit, pag-upo niya sa trono ng kalangitan, pagbalik niya sa mundong ito, ang paghatol niya sa lahat ng salungat sa Mesiyas, salungat sa Kanya, at ang paghahari niya magpakailanman. And so, there is everlasting joy to be expected by the disciples. Jesus used the example of a woman giving birth. And I cannot speak about this. Pero sabi ng Bible, nakakalimutan ng nanay ang sakit ng pagsilang dahil nakikita ng nanay ang bata at nakakalimutan niya ang paghihirap noon. And so that there is joy that a man is born into the world, and the joy eclipses the sorrow. The joy eclipses the sorrow. Can I say something? The joy that the disciples experience will overtake the sorrow that they experience. Okay, so for now, we don't see the Lord. He's in heaven. We're again back to this interim period. He gave us His Word. He gave us the Holy Spirit. But our joy is not yet complete or perfected. Sure, it is full. Sure, it is unspeakable and full of glory. But joy will be complete one day when we see our blessed Savior, when He calls us home and He says, come up hither, and we get rid of this world, we get rid of our sins, we get rid of the flesh, and we turn from mortality to immortality, and we are before the Heavenly Father, and we are beside the fellowship of the saints, and we can enjoy perfect fellowship with Jesus Christ forever. And so, this is the summary of the story of salvation. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Perfect, complete, perfected joy. And that joy will eclipse everything that we suffered here on earth. What is this compared to the joy of eternity? Okay, so we're in a pandemic. We could lose our life. But what is 40 years in comparison to eternity in heaven with the Lord? Here we are touched with sorrow and grief and thorns and fear and sicknesses. But over there will be no tears, for He shall wipe away the tears from us. I can't imagine the joy, the perfected joy of heaven. And so, yes, they will sorrow, but their sorrow will be turned into joy. Now, I want to show you some, just some biblical principles or facts concerning Christian joy. Okay, some things so we can learn about Christian joy. Look at verse 23. For in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. And so there's the joy of answered prayers. The joy of answered prayers. Have you ever experienced the joy that comes when God, out of nowhere, answers prayers? You know, the problem is not unanswered prayers. The problem is unoffered prayers. That's the problem. And so the joy that wells up in us as the Father receives our prayer requests, and then He responds and answers our prayer requests, and we have a fingerprint of God in the answer to our prayers. So we ought to return praise and thanks to God for every answered prayer. And I don't believe that we return concurrent praises and thanks in comparison to how He blesses us. He blesses us so much more than we thank Him for. He blesses us so much more than what we are capable of returning to Him. But we need to return praise and thanks to Him for answered prayers. And they produce joy. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hey, does God want you to have fullness of joy? Yes, He did. He gave us a blank check. He said, ask in my name. Ask in my name. Pray. And when you pray with the glory of God in your mind. You, the Heavenly Father is in your mind. And you lay your requests before the Lord. And you can expect God to answer prayer. He can answer yes. He can answer no. He can answer wait. But God's answers are so much more wiser than our prayer requests. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to trust in the Lord. Now look at verse number 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Can I tell you something? Sorrow is temporary. Joy is eternal. Aren't you glad sorrow is temporary? We will not always be this way. Things will not always carry on like this. There will be an end to this life. But if you're a Christian, if you're born again, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the best is yet to come. Sorrow is temporary. Joy is eternal. God's love is the foundation of our joy. The reason why we can joy and rejoice in the Lord is because of the love of God. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. For the Father Himself loveth you. Hey, who loves you? The Father Himself loves you. Because ye loved me. You see that? The only reason why we're accepted by the Father and loved by the Father is we believe, we trust, we love the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the reason why we are saved. Jesus is the reason why we're born again. Why are we acceptable to God? We're not acceptable because of us. He doesn't receive us because we're just nice people. And we're well behaved, and we know how to behave, and we know how to act, and we know the right words to say. No, He doesn't respect persons, you see. He takes us because we took Jesus Christ. He receives us because we received Jesus Christ. He loves us because we love Jesus Christ, you see. Jesus is the answer. He's still the answer today. He's still the answer today. Our joy is guaranteed because Jesus overcomes the world. He overcame the world. Look at verse 33. Verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, here's a promise in the negative. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. You can guarantee that. One thing you can guarantee about this world, it'll be tribulation. And it's not talking about the great tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation. That's not what he's talking about. Pag sinabing tribulation dito, ang ibig sabihin, kapighatian. Sa mundong ito, wala ka nang maaasahan kundi kapighatian. Sorry. Hindi tayo sumusulong, hindi tayo pagaling ng pagaling. Hindi o reverse, pabulok po tayo ng pabulok. yun ang trajectory natin. The world is on a collision course. there's a clash here. And we're not evolving to become higher species and better educated and more technology and medical advances. We're not advancing. Just so you know. I mean, we're advancing in technology and medicine. That's about the only thing that we're advancing in. We're not advancing morally. We're certainly not advancing intellectually. We're certainly not advancing in godliness. This world, you can guarantee tribulation. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Oh, that's joy. Cheer is another word for joy. It's the same idea, cheer. I have overcome the world. Listen, our joy is guaranteed. If you know the Lord as your Savior, your joy is guaranteed. Guaranteed. The moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. And guess what the Spirit produces? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And it goes on and on and on it goes. But that you understand, joy is an element of the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot manufacture joy in the flesh. You cannot produce joy in the flesh. The flesh produces sin. And every time you find sin, you will not find joy. Now you can find sorrow alongside joy, yes. Sorrow and joy can mix. Sorrow and joy can be in the same heart. Sorrow and joy. The only people on earth who can smile through the tears are Christians. That no matter how sorrowful things happen to you, in your heart you have the joy of the Lord. Only a Christian has that. The world doesn't understand how you can smile through the tears. That's because we have joy abiding in us as a token, as a fruit of the Spirit. This is something the Spirit produces in the Christian. Our joy is guaranteed. Jesus overcame the world. And if He overcomes the world and He lives in us, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You see. Jesus promised that no one can take away our joy. Look at verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Amen. I like that. I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man take from you. No man take it from you. No one can rob you of your joy. Did you know that? Nobody can rob you of your joy. Now I'll tell you something. You can give your joy away. But that was your choice. That was your decision. No man can rob you of your joy. That means even if you see your enemy, even if you see someone you don't like, if you turn sour in your heart, it's because you gave your joy away. They didn't take your joy from you. Jesus said, no man taketh your joy. So if you're not a joyful Christian today, that's your fault. That's your fault. Now some people say, well, no, my brother's backslidden because of the church. That's not what the teaching is in verse 22. Your brother gave his joy away, if he's even saved. You see. I'm just using that as an example. But no man can take away the joy that Jesus gives you. But you certainly can give it away. And sin eclipses joy. Sin eclipses joy. Sorrow doesn't. Sorrow can live in the same place with joy, mixed, that's fine, but not sin. Sin and joy, they don't go together. And whenever you sin, you can guarantee sorrow's coming. And so sin at times eclipses the joy of the Christian. That's why David, when he sinned against Uriah, when he sinned against Bathsheba, when he sinned against God Almighty, he had to pray in Psalm 51, "Return unto me the joy of my salvation." Because sin and joy, they do not get, they, you cannot mix them. And so communion with God is the only way that can restore your joy. So if you need your joy restored, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Well, David found it when he prayed. And so communion with God restores our joy. Verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So if the Lord has overcome the world, we must go to Him and confess our sin. And when we get rid of that sin, the sunshine of joy shines bright again in our hearts. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Sorrow and joy. Sorrow and joy. I'm so glad that Jesus is interested. I'm so glad we want to know the will of God. I'm so glad that Jesus explains what true biblical joy is. And the whole Bible, the testimony of the Scriptures concerning joy. Hey, we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be sorrowful. We can get rid of sin. We can confess our sins before the Father, and He will forgive. Oh, He'll cleanse and forgive, because He promises that in the Word of God. And when we deal with sin, oh, the sunshine of joy comes back. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You want to be strong in the Lord? Let the joy of God come into you. Learn to rejoice in Him. You know, don't rejoice in someone else, something else. Joy is not found online, on the internet, you know, on the phone. Joy.com. That's not joy. No, joy comes in true fellowship and communion with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You need strength in your bones. You need strength in your muscles. I mean strength in your life. Strength in your mind. Strength in your heart. Let the joy of the Lord come upon you. Think about joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's through the Lord knowing Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. you can have joy unspeakable. You know what joy unspeakable is? You can't even talk about it. It's so beyond words. That's the kind of joy God wants you to have, the fullness of joy. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the promises of the Word of God concerning joy and sorrow. We thank you sorrow is temporary. We thank you joy is eternal. Help us, Lord, to set our affections on things eternal, to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the source, the foundation of our joy, the reason why we can be acceptable to you, the reason why we are a sweet-smelling savor rather than a stench, Lord, because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, that if there's some here who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that today they would repent and believe on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They would turn from sin and turn to the Savior and take Him as Lord and Savior so that they too can experience everlasting joy. True, deep, abiding joy, that cheerfulness of the soul. It's not tied to circumstances, tied to Jesus, the person of Christ. Lord, I pray that they would come to know Him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.